Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the Holy Son of God. The Gospel, the good news of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Growing up as a child, I was told that people who are mentally ill, when they begin to act up or act out, in the night you go out and you see if the moon is full. And when the moon is full, you realize that the mentally ill behave in a very violent way. Well, I don't know if that is true, but this past week, our brother Mike had to call police for two of the homeless people who were mentally ill. And while I was driving in the night last week, I was driving and I realized there was this big moon. I'm like, wow, it may be some truth to that. That there may be some connectedness that the mentally ill experience with the rising of the full moon. Now, don't quote me on this because I don't know if it's scientifically true. But however, today we celebrate a connectedness that is in the Godhead. When we ask ourselves the question, who is God? We know God consists of three persons, one in nature. That he is God the
Father,
God the
Son,
God the
Holy Spirit.
That's right. Three persons, one God. God the Father is not God the Son, and God the Son is not God the Holy Spirit. They are three persons, but one in nature. That we are created by a God who is community. A God who loves and loves. It says that the Father loves the Son. And when the Father looks at the Son, he looks at the Son with love. And that love is formulated in a third person that is called the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody that you love? Is there anybody in this church that is in love? What? All right. Amen. Amen. Yes. Lord, send help. I didn't see Digna hand went up, but I saw her husband hand went up, and I saw Sherry-Ann. I think your husband will be very proud of you, Sherry-Ann. That when we are in love, there is a connectedness we feel to the other person. You know, and I think mothers feel it well, that when a mother child, or when she gets bad news about her child, she holds her tummy. There is a connectedness. There's times when a father gets up in the middle of the night, he knows something is wrong with his son, something is wrong with his daughter. We are connected. And with what is happening right now in the media with George, and seeing him, there is a connectedness human being feel. That, okay, This is another human being. To hear another human person cry, there's a sadness that one feels. And you hear a lot of mothers saying, when I heard him scream, Mama, I felt connected. I heard my son. I heard my child. There is a connectedness. And if we don't feel connected, then we know something is wrong. See me after Mass. That as a human being, we are created in the image and likeness of God, and we are created to be in a relationship. Amen. You know, when your phone is not connected to the Wi-Fi, you know. And you know how infuriated you feel, because you want to get a signal, you're looking for a signal, and you cannot get it. Maybe today you feel disconnected from God. Maybe today you feel as though you are dirty. Well, I want to say to you, God will be your water. Amen. Maybe today you are drowning, and you feel as though you are drowning in your doubt. You are drowning in your depression. You are drowning in your anger. Know that today God wants to be your lifeguard. He will save you. Maybe today you feel in prison. Maybe today the chains of the shackles hold you in captivity. And maybe there is a habitual sin that you're trying to break from. I want to say to you today, God is your deliverer.
Amen.
He can deliver us. Only God can do that. Nobody else. You might want to put them there. They cannot stand, because it's only God is that space in our heart is created for. Let's look at the first reading. The Israelites, they are making a journey, and this journey took them 40 years. Now Moses goes up to Mount Sinai for the tablet. He goes up for the Ten Commandments. He goes up for the law. And while Moses is up on the mountain, the Israelites breaks covenant with God. Now, you need to understand that a covenant is not a contract. If you are a landlord, you know that. You make your rules, your tenant have to sign in conformity to this contract. And the day they break the rules, what happened? Eviction. Bye, you gotta go. With COVID-19, you might be stuck with them for a little while. But once the contract is broken, you have rights to put them out. Well, a covenant is different. The covenant that God makes with his people, even though we break the covenant, he is faithful to us. Isn't that something? Oh, I love it. That when I sin, when I wander far from God, he is still there.
Amen.
That his love, I mean, this crazy love that God has for me, that is why none of us is a mistake. For your father, you might be a mistake. Or for your mom, you might have been a mistake. She maybe wasn't wanted to get pregnant at that time. But you are not a mistake for God.
Amen.
You are loved by God. God loves you. And his love for you will never come to an end. But we have to respond to that love. Hear what happened. While Moses is on the mountain, the people go to Aaron, the priest. And they tell Aaron, we want you to create God for us. Now, when Pope Benedict was asked the question that were they looking for another God, Pope Benedict said, no. They weren't looking for another God, but they wanted a God that was not remote. They wanted a God that they could have seen. They wanted a God that they can touch. Isn't that our story?
Yes.
That we want to domesticate God. We want a God in our own image. We want to create God. We want to design God. We want to tell God what he should do and what he should not. Oh boy. Messed up. We want God to be fitted in our mold. We want God to accommodate our lifestyle. We don't want to change, you know. We want Him to change. That's what the Israelites did. That is what they did. And what they did was an abomination against God. And we too must ask ourselves the question, do I know God? Is there anyone here who knows God completely? Anybody? I dare you to raise your hand this morning. Do not raise your hand. Is there anybody here who knows God completely? Because nobody really does. So I'm trying to save yourself from embarrassing this morning for what I'm going to say next. Nobody knows God completely. And it's true. The closer we get to God, we realize what? We really don't know God. Because we as Catholics think we can capsulize God. We can put God in this gold box and He stays there. And I can live anyhow because He's not looking, because He's in the church. So I live anyhow and I come back. Woo! Look at me. I'm holy and pious. Can you not see the halo? The truth be told, and I think it more than ever, we really do not know God. And that's why you hear people say, like, you go to church, and that's the way you behave. And that's why sometimes our children don't want to be where we are. That's why our loved ones don't want to be where we are. Because if you are there and you say that you have a relationship with God, or you say you are a reflection of God, then I don't want your God. Because the Bible is very clear as to who God is. And let us be real. That is the scandal today of Christianity, that we really don't practice what we preach. But however, that's why every time the gospel is read, we make three little crosses. One on our forehead, one on our lips, and one on our hearts. When God becomes present in the gospel, what we are saying to God when we stand up is, God, that I respect you, that you are Lord of my life, and I'm asking you right now to be Lord of my mind. Church, the battle is our mind. There is where the battlefield is. This mind is a very powerful thing. And if God is not Lord of our minds, then our thoughts, even in church, your thoughts, the things that you will think in the presence of God, is scandalous. Because we have no control as to what comes into our minds. And if for the next 6 days of the week, we are feeding our minds with garbage, what is going to happen? Garbage goes in, what's going to happen? Garbage comes out. That's right. And that is why St. Paul understands that very well. St. Paul prayed for a spiritual revolution. We need the old mind to be thrown out and the mind of Christ to be given to us, so that every thought we think will be held in captivity to God. Oh, God, help us. Oh God, we need a change. As only God can change us. So I'm saying to you, you can protest from now until 2030. If God is not in that protest, if God is not part of the change we are praying for, then nothing is going to happen. Amen. Because the one who changes hearts is not the president. It's not the governor. The one who changes hearts is God.
Amen.
You know, I am really appalled and moved. You know, I was just looking at the protest yesterday. I'm like, wow, look at how many people. Put God in that protest now, you will see them all. Very interesting. We will protest against injustice, and that is good. But why we don't protest for God? Why we don't stand up for God? Why we don't make a prayer as we walk? Lord, you walk in our land. Lord, touch the hearts of your people. Unless, church, we see each other as brothers and sisters, then change will not happen. And I feel myself, maybe the first one, guilty as charged. I think we don't see that. I don't see you as my brother. I don't see you as my sister. What I see still is race. What I see still is class. What I still see is color. That when I look at you, even though we will say at every mass, our Father, then that makes us brothers and sisters. That if I see you as my brother, I will not kill you. I will not hurt you. I will not gossip about you. I will not treat you as a foreigner, but I will treat you as a brother. I will treat you as a sister. I will treat you as a friend. And that's the challenge today for Christianity. That's the challenge, that we have to be able to see God in each other. We have to be able that when I look at you, I see Christ. And sometimes it's difficult to see Christ in some people. Isn't that true? Yes. Oh Lord. Oh God, send help. Yes?
Yes.
So I will close my eye and I will imagine Jesus in you. I will close my eye and see Jesus in you. I read this week, someone wrote something on the internet and they were saying, when this life is over, God will not ask us the neighborhood that we live in. He will ask us, who has been your neighbor? When this life is over, God will not ask us how many degrees we have achieved in this life. He will ask us how many souls we have brought to him. That's true. God's not going to ask us about the clothes, the brand name of the clothes that we wear. You know, I saw a video yesterday. It's something that I keep saying, that there is a missing generation. There is a missing generation that live today that do not know God. And we're seeing it now. In New York, a group of young people, they were going from store to store and they were smashing in those doors and they were stealing. So a young man came out in this Apple store with this computer and two other young men beat him up and take away that computer from him. I mean, the live stream, the media is there, video, and there is no fear. And you ask yourself the question, why this generation is fearless? There is no sense of God. Amazing, frightening, that if we don't find them, they are finding us. That the very nature of God is to empower and to send out so that you can bring back others. Church, and for too long, we have operated like secret agents. We don't evangelize. We don't tell others, even within our own families. There are people that we are talking to in our job sites, but we're not telling them about Jesus. We're not sharing. The nature of God is to bring. You get an experience and you go forth now to bring back others next week. And if for weeks and months and years you are walking through the church doors by yourself or just with your family, something is wrong. Something is wrong with that. And we will have to give an account to God, because God is about saving all. God don't have no favorites. God cares and he loves each and every one of us, even the mentally ill, even the homeless. God loves them and God cares about them and God wants to save them. So as we celebrate today the communion of God, the physical touch that the Israelites long for, the covenant-keeping God that we serve, who sent his Son, Jesus, to reconnect us to him, the Father. And then after Jesus came physically and walked the face of the earth, because he was God and man, he was trapped in time, yes. And he could not, you know, divide himself all over the world. So what he did, he went back to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit so that we can stay connected. Maybe this morning you don't feel connected. But I pray for you today that you will be reconnected to God, not to man, but to God. That you will open your hearts to the movement and the power of God's Spirit. That you will allow God to kick down in your life the walls that separate you from him. That you will ask God to remove the things and the people in your life that are preventing you from having a personal relationship with God. That God will give you the grace today to renounce the addictions in your life so that you can be reconnected to him. God loves you, and his love for you will never come to an end. But church, you and I need to respond to that love. Amen.